Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Elohim, our Redeemer and our Savior, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. We want to say happy Sabbath and pray that everything is going well for everyone. We are, again, in the Elohim of the Blood Covenant. We are starting in Deuteronomy chapter 3 on today. I know that there are no statutes, laws, or commandments as pertaining to the covenant in chapters 3 to about 11. But yet and still, we want to cover these chapters for the simple reason we are also not just looking for, quote unquote, the statutes, laws, and commandments, but we're also looking for the way that the Most High, the way He operates. his modus operandi, how he interfaces with the people, and, you know, just how he conducts business. The scriptures give us great insight to how the Most High operates. And, you know, he says that he is Elohim and he changes not. He's not a man that he should lie, and the Son of Man that he should repent. And so when we feel like we're seeing a different God or Elohim in the New Testament, then it is becoming very clear to me that we are seeing that because that's what we want to see. But when we really study out the word, he changes not. And so in light of that fact, using this opportunity, as I said, to review the old covenant so we know what's in the new, and also what the Most High's, the way that the Most High looks at things, because we have to see it from his viewpoint, not ours or not some man's interpretation, but, you know, what his viewpoint is. And so we continue in this endeavor. You know, I could jump all the way to chapter 12 and we start reading there, but there's going to be some story, some interaction with the Most High between chapters 3 and 12 that's going to show us, for lack of a better word, the Most High's mentality. And so we definitely need to get on the same page as that he is on, and do things the way that he wants to do them, how he does them, and learn how to think the way that he thinks. How can you make somebody happy and you don't really even understand how they think? You know, much less what they want, but how they think, because that's going to be determined what motivates them, you know, what things are important to them, and why they're important. So, you know, I don't want to skip over any of this because it is very critical that we gain as much knowledge about the Most High as possible. I want to welcome everybody on Blog Talk, on Pal Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. If you're in North America, South America, the continent of Africa, or the European continent, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, Yeshua HaMashiach, or in the English or the Greek, Jesus the Christ. We want to welcome our new listeners from South Africa. We want to welcome you to the broadcast, and we pray that you are being fed in the word of the Most High. That being said, let us do our statement of faith on this evening or this morning. And I am just, you know, so stoked and excited. Then, you know, I had to go back and look at the video of the land again and planning my next trip up there. As I said on yesterday, started buying, you know, things, the stuff that we would need, the most expensive, bulky stuff I haven't, you know, start to purchase yet. Want to make sure that I get the best deal possible, you know, on, like I said, either a Bobcat or a tractor. You know, the generator and all that stuff is pretty much stock. So I know what model we're going to buy. I know how much it costs. But those items that are, let's just say, the items that I'm going to buy used, I want to make sure that I get the best value for the money. I can't afford a brand new tractor, or I can't afford a brand new Bobcat. So whatever I get used, I want to make sure, you know, even before I purchase it, if I have to go out and if I can't have them to take a video and, you know, hey, I need you to start it up, I need you to drive it around, I need to make sure it works, all this kind of stuff. Those are, you know, may fluctuate in price. And I have, you know, a budget that I've established, and I've given myself a fudge factor in there. There's a budget and then there's a fudget. And I hadn't realized a lot of people work off of fudgets. You know, they don't try to stick exactly to what they have budgeted for. But some things you can't, you know, some things you have to give yourself a little bit of leeway because you may not get the one that you wanted, and the next one that comes up may be a little bit more expensive. or it may be a little bit less expensive. So, you know, we give ourselves a little bit of play, room to play with there, about a 10%, you know, what I call fudge it. This is what we're budgeting for, plus or minus 10%. And so I'm looking, you know, for those items because they're going to be, you know, critical to what we do. One or, you know, the tractor or the Bobcat, either way. Both of them will suffice to do what we need to do. But whichever one I can find that is, you know, affordable and close enough that I can go get it. I can't buy one from all the way across the U.S. because shipping costs and all that, that would be just ridiculous. Nevertheless, I'm praising the Most High thanking Him. As I was telling the sisters yesterday, I bought some hydroponic units. I've been looking into hydroponics and, you know, growing different things in water. And so I bought some units to test. I'm going to videotape it so that, you know, we're all on the same page as I build the one that I'm going to put outside. I want to see how it does out there. As I build it, then I'm going to document it and, you know, share it with the family here. And then we'll do some plants and see how they grow. I'm also going to rejuvenate the garden that I have in the back that I started it's coming up on 2 years now. The greenhouse that I built and, you know, the raised beds that I put in there, I'm going to rejuvenate it. So it's going to take me a little bit of work to go out there and see if I can get the soil to come back to life. According to, you know, some of the videos that I've seen, how you rejuvenate the soil, and it's not by adding the minerals back, but it's by, you know, just taking plant matter, some that's alive and some that's dead, rotting it out, you know, returning to the ground. That's what it needs. So I'm going to, you know, do that and then take some soil samples and put them up under the microscope. I can take pictures with this microscope, so I will also be sharing that so that we can sort of learn through me and this process. And, you know, hopefully I can get some live soil and then show us some of the microorganisms that are supposed to be in the soil that we might all learn together. So as I do this, I want to share it with everyone. And then, you know, wherever you're at, if you're able to, then you can do some of these same things where you're at, you know, in the time being, in the meantime. And then when you come to the land, then it won't be anything that I'm introducing that's new, so you'll be familiar with it. You'll understand how it works, and, you know, you could jump right in or do whatever. A lot of this is learning, you know, a learning experience for myself. I didn't grow up on a farm, you know. Well, I didn't grow up on a farm, but my father, when we were in Kansas, and I think I was probably 6, 7, or 8 years old, somewhere in there, you know, he planted, you know, corn and tomatoes and all this stuff, and he grew it and he did well there. But it wasn't something he included us in. So, you know, I just knew he had a garden, and I knew we almost set it on fire, you know, playing with fire in the yard, almost, you know, burnt down his garden. So that was, you know, my exposure to farming, and, you know, it was just that he had one. But I'm, you know, as I'm researching, I'm finding this stuff fascinating. Kind of wishing that I got into it earlier, but, you know, the drive to be involved with it was not there for me to look into the things that I'm looking into now and the depth at what I'm looking at, into them. So, you know, the Most High knows everything in His timing, and I am encouraged. I really do believe I'm going to become an expert in this area, you know, with the electricity, with the farming, the things that are required. I'm going to become an expert in it. Refocus my, you know, what I used to do in computers, and, you know, I considered myself an expert in computers for what I did for a living. I'll turn around and pour it into this because this is a matter of life and death, survival. You know, what I know about computers will never go away. I might get rusty on how to do some things, but, you know, how they work and the different protocols and all that stuff will never go away. So I always have that knowledge or, you know, be able to look up something and say, oh, yeah, that. But, you know, I'm excited about learning to grow things, and I've always been excited about electricity. I've been afraid of electricity because it doesn't play. You do the wrong thing with electricity and, you know, it can kill you in a matter of seconds. And so I've always sort of had a curiosity. I understand how it works, but, you know, I would never really mess with it. But now we're going to mess with it. And so I want to make sure that I'm an expert in that area. If I have to take a job, you know, a part-time job as a salesperson selling solar so that I can learn it, then I'll do that so that, that company will teach me everything I need to know about solar. And I'm considering that as, you know, as something to pass the time and maybe make up some ends. But it's going to be beneficial in that it will teach me to give me hands-on and teach me the technology. I have messed with solar, but not on a large scale. And so just so, you know, I can know that I know what I'm doing. And then when I teach other people, I'll know that I know what I'm teaching them is correct. And that they're not going to be doing, you know, they'll understand the difference between wiring in parallel or in series and which one can kill you, that type of stuff. You know, we don't want people getting involved with something and touching something that is potentially can take their life. So this is what we're on. Probably this week coming up, I will look at, you know, call some companies or go out on LinkedIn and apply for some jobs selling solar. I know they have some training programs, and look into pursuing that. And like I said, even if I don't make any sales, which I think that's what they want done, you know, you can make sales and stuff, what I want is to train, okay, and to utilize it for that, so that I, you know, as I buy this solar system, sounds like a, you know, I'm buying the universe, but as we buy this solar system and being able to put it together and, you know, knowing all the different pieces and how they work together and how you convert DC into AC and, you know, all this stuff, we want to make sure that that, you know, we know what we're doing, and that we're able to do it confidently. And then, you know, as I really want to have younger people that buy in, when I be by younger than me, but who are interested in learning and knowing this stuff, so that, you know, we all have to know it, but they would be the experts. And they would be the ones, you know, if something went down, they would be troubleshooting it, fixing it. And so, you know, this is what we're on in this regard. Let's see, what else? Yeah, I think that's it for right now. Like I said, I probably will try to take a trip up there the week of Thanksgiving, that week. go spend some time on the land. If I can find a trailer that is going to fit the needs, you know, I can't just buy any kind of trailer. As I said, it needs to be kind of heavy duty so that it can be able to either carry this tractor or carry the Bobcat, and they have a little bit of weight to them, so can't just be, you know, like a trailer that you get to put trash in, or you get to put you know, carry boxes or anything like that. It has to be kind of a heavy duty one, double axle, so that, you know, it'll take the weight of this machinery. So that is, you know, what we're looking at. But as much as possible, the welders and, you know, the backhoes, not the backhoes, but the tillers and things like that, that I could actually carry up in the vehicle that I have. Only reason why I don't want to carry them up is not having a place to actually store them there yet. So one of the first things is to get a shipping container and get it delivered to the property. So I need to go back up and actually, you know, now look at the land and say, okay, this is where we're going to start. We're going to put X right here. And, you know, and then prepare the foundation at least, you know, because I can do that with probably a shovel, a shovel and actually probably a 5-pound or a 5-gallon bucket with some water, you know, just to pour the pillars. Take a little bit longer, but it would be doable. But the shipping container is probably going to be one of the number one priorities. The first shipping container, at least, because as we take equipment up there, we need to have some place to store it, lock it up, you know, put a good lock on it, something that's hard to break in, hard to cut, because, you know, people steal everywhere, and you just never know. So I don't want to be buying stuff and then have it walk off, grow legs. Anyone who's listening out there, if you want to make donations to this cause, just go to the website. I think I'm going to actually put up a page for donations for those who are wanting, you know, to donate, whether it's money or if it's equipment or what have you. It'll be a tax write-off for you. We are a 508, and anything that you give is tax deductible. Okay, so I'll have to start updating things in order to pursue those routes as well. And then for those who, you know, are listening and want to become a part of this, to actually come and live on the land, to participate and to live by the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, you know, to abide by the rules of the community, you know, we want to also invite you to inquire. We have more than enough land, and, you know, but we're not looking for everybody or anybody. Let me make that clear. We're not looking for everybody or just anybody. We're looking for those who want to live by the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, and who understand structure and authority. Who's not trying to come out and be like the Wild Wild West, or want to come out and do their own thing, haven't bought into the vision that the Most High has given, in other words. Okay, so yeah, we want to encourage people to do those things. If you're coming from another country, you know, write, send an email. Would love to meet you. And, you know, if you're about keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, having all things in common as a community, and obeying the Most High Elohim, then I'm interested in talking to you. Okay? And that would be both men and women. because we want community. Even those, you know, with children, we want community. We would have to, there would have to be some planning done, but, you know, that's with anything. So I am excited. I'm excited to do the work. I'm excited with the Most High is showing. I'm excited with the things that he's showing me. And, you know, I really need to put up a, I think I'm going to put up a crowdfunding page or a GoFundMe page, because this atmospheric water generator, I can't afford it by myself. I mean, I could pay for it cash right now, but it's too much cash outlay for one item. And but it's something that, you know, the Most High has put on my heart that we actually really need, that we want, and we need it. We could do it a different way, but this is going to be the best option. And it will help with the hydroponics. It would help with, you know, watering the property. It would help with providing water, period, for whatever the needs. Even enough that if we so wanted to, we could actually sell water. You know, we could become a water distributor. It is, these machines are rated such that they meet federal standards, you know, to actually produce water and sell it. And if we get enough interest, then I would just buy the bigger machine, which would allow us to really actually do exactly that. I'm looking only to provide for the property, but is capable of producing enough to actually sell to other properties. And that would be, that would probably be a good thing, especially in that area, because none of the properties have wells on them. And, you know, if we could provide water, it'd be the cleanest, would it be better than the groundwater? You know, it wouldn't be that hard to either run the pipes to adjacent properties or, you know, say, okay, you can get it from this storage tank, and this is what it costs. You know, something that would help pay for the equipment and generate income for the property. So we're looking into all those things. Looking into all those things. That being said, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Happy Sabbath to everyone, wherever you're at in the world. And let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. And that is the crux of the whole matter. And I'm really looking for those individuals, that verse alone, who believe that verse by itself, that this is the whole duty of man, to fear Elohim and to keep his commandments. If you can believe that and live on that, that will say so much to me about your character. and what, you know, who you are relying on, where who you are as a person, because it is the fear of him that I have come to very much understand that will keep people from doing foolish things. The fear of him, understanding that we truly have to be afraid of him and keep his commandments. Men of the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem, holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishments that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And, Father, we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony that this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you should call in Messiah through faith, that they would come and hear your voice and obey. And Father, deliver us from this captivity. Turn your eyes and your ears back towards your people. Hear our supplication and our prayers. And deliver us. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. 1 Kings, chapter 8. And this, you know, this chapter, 1 Kings chapter 8, really is dedicated to the Hebrew Israelite and to the Gentile. And so I love to read this, and this is why it's part of our dedication. I don't read the whole thing all the time. But as I've said from the very beginning, this ministry is to Israel first. That's who the Most High told me to go to. Call to Israel. Make the last call. And so we need to understand who we are as a people. That's why we read these verses every service, really, every broadcast, just about. Because I want us to understand and get these down in us. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, says them, but we want to make this personal, with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee, O Yah, with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies. Because, see, we got to understand we're in a land, it's not our own land, and we are in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive. And pray unto you toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I, Solomon, have built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause, and forgive us thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thy eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. Now, I paraphrased the scriptures. I made it personal to us because it needs to be personal to us. We need to understand that these verses apply and live and walk in them. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Gotta believe that. Gotta know that that day of reckoning is coming. Gotta know that you have to govern yourselves by the statute, laws, and commandments of the Most High, and that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Gotta walk in that. That's who we're looking for. Those that fear the Most High and understand that there's a day of reckoning coming and he's going to judge everything. So we have to be very careful with what we do, what we say. We have to be very mindful of how we conduct ourselves, because we're going to be held accountable for it. Even those things that you don't know, that you think other people don't know, those things you did in the dark, that you did in secret. The Most High says it's secret to them. It ain't secret to me. So we have to be very afraid. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, that is so crucial. Because, you know, it's the whole reason that we're doing the precepts that we're doing concerning the covenants, the old covenant, so that we understand what comes into the new. Because he says, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, why is he going to give you a new one for you not to keep it? For you to just do what you want to do? Make it up? Nah. We don't want to do that. So we want to get these things down deep in us. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. See, we like that part, above all people, and we like to be that peculiar treasure, but we ain't really liking keeping his covenant or obeying his voice. We want the blessing, but we don't want the blesser. Now, this has just been my experience talking to people and then watching people's actions. So let's read this again, because this is to Israel and anybody that wants to be a part of Israel. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, for real, that's what he said, indeed, for real, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. These are our marching orders in Torah. And Messiah says, go ye into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them whatsoever I have taught you. He's reiterating the orders, a kingdom of priests that bring the gospel, a holy nation. And we as a people, I hate to start preaching right here or teaching right here, but we as a people have not wanted the job that the Most High has given to us. We want the jobs of the world. He didn't select us for those jobs. He's not going to blow us up in those jobs. The job that he selected us for was the priesthood. And we don't want to be holy. We are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Elohim. And that's not a good thing. So we want to get these words down deep in us. We want to take them and commit to them. This is who we are. This is who, we have to say it, not we, this is who I am. And that it needs to become individualized. This is who I am. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. The children of Israel, whether homeborn or the stranger who joins, has to believe this, has to know that this is what the nation is called to. This is what we are as a people are called to. And if we are calling ourselves Israel, and we're not espousing this, we're not embracing this, then we're not doing what the Most High called us to do, and we're not in his will. We are doing otherwise. We're doing what we want to do. And I don't care what that is. We're doing what we want to do. We are not being the salt of the earth. We're not changing the way things are because salt changes the flavor of something. Salt preserves things. Salt cleanses things. Salt is also a form of leavening because it does change something. And so we only look at leavening as some type of sinful thing. But a leavening agent is just a change agent. One of the biggest leaveners is sin. But it's not the only leavener. Love is a leavener. Mercy, grace, long-suffering. All these things make change. Love. And love and all these other things overcome sin. But we're stuck in sin. So we have to be this kingdom of priests. That's why we read these verses every service, to get this on the inside of us. You know, it shouldn't be something that we're just saying and then we get, you know, it should have a meaning to us, a personal meaning. And so, again, Israel, the Most High wants you to get this down inside of you. Make it part of you. And not just in word, but also in deed. Take up the mantle that the Most High has called us to as a people. You want to be blessed? You want to be above all other nations? Because this is what he said, I will make you, you shall be a peculiar treasure above all people. How is it that we find ourselves on the bottom? I'll tell you why we're on the bottom. Because we're not doing what we were called to do. You want to be on top? Take up the mantle and the job that he gave to us. The priesthood. We want to be everything but. And then we wonder why we find ourselves in every nation on the bottom of the totem pole. Because we are out of order and we're not doing what the Most High called us to do. So he is against us in that regard. I pray we can hear this. And to all those that want to join Israel, then you're joining, supposed to be joining a holy nation. And if you're doing the things the way the Most High said to do it, then he says you are to be considered as one in the land. As one of the people, not a stranger. Being no more strangers to the commonwealth of Israel. But that don't mean you're supposed to come in and take over either. So I pray that, you know, whoever's listening, that you hear and you understand. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Because these are the only two choices you ever have in life, no matter what you do. Everything, every decision you make is leading to one or the other of this. Every decision you make. It's either going to be good or it's going to be bad. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Those are your two choices. Choose the blessing or choose the curse. There ain't no in-between. The Most I don't do in-between. If you don't choose the blessing, you have chosen the curse. There's no in-between. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. It's not just to go after other gods. It's to be disobedient and not obey the commandments of the Most High God himself. Will bring you the curse. You could not be serving another Elohim, but you're disobedient to the Most High. You have chosen the curse because you chose to be disobedient. Every decision we make takes us in one direction or the other. And you know, a lot of us want to try to ride the fence, want to try to be in the middle. There is no middle ground. That is deception. There is no middle ground. The Most High actually says, I hate it. I don't want you to be lukewarm in the middle. Lukewarm is not just right. Lukewarm actually happens to be just wrong. Absolutely wrong. So it says, choose. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. And when you make a choice, you have to be committed to that choice. Because if you're not committed, then you're going to be lukewarm. And you might as well have chose the other side, the curse. But we read these verses every service because these things have to be on the inside of us. We have to understand when we're making decisions that, is this decision going to be a blessing or is it going to be a curse? Am I choosing life or am I choosing death? Am I making the right decision? Am I in the will of the Most High Elohim? So if you're on the fence, get off the fence. Choose. Be all the way for the Most High or be all the way against Him. Because either way it goes, if you're not all the way for Him, He says you're against Him. You're His adversary. He don't play. He doesn't do halfway. He doesn't do three quarters. He doesn't do what you're comfortable with. The relationship is not based upon really what you want. He's the one that laid out the terms and the conditions. If you obey my voice and keep my covenant, where did he say you had an input to that? Your input is to either obey or not to obey. Your input into that is either to keep the covenant or not keep the covenant. That's the only input you have. The conditions of the covenant, what the Most High is going to demand, you don't have a say in that. I don't have a say in that. So it's on his terms and his conditions. Somehow we think we got a say. But we don't. So get these words down in you. The Most High didn't have me reading them every service just to be reading them. These are foundational. They are fundamental to your belief, to your understanding, to your walk. If you can fear Him, then you're going to think about what you do and what you say. If you fear the consequences, if you fear that, oh, there's going to be something at some point, if you fear the Most High turning away from you, you know, turning His back on you. We read that last night. You know, one of the things, and I don't recall ever reading this, but when we read it last night, it sure struck a chord within me. You know, when the Most High told Moses, that because you have taken my glory and you shall not enter into the promised land. I don't recall really ever reading the scriptures where Moses went back and petitioned the Most High to be able to go into the promised land. You know, I sort of always just thought that he just accepted it. And that was that. But, the word of God is so good. Because last night we read where we're told that Moses petitioned the Most High more than one time to be able to enter into the promised land, and the Most High says, don't bring it up to me anymore. I've already made my judgment. You're not going to take this people in. So the answer is no, Moses. And don't ask again. You know, I'm being truthful with you. I always assumed that he just accepted what the Most High said from the beginning. I don't recall ever reading these scriptures. If I did, I don't recall it. Just say it that way. And I've read the whole Bible, I know many times. I don't recall these scriptures. The Most High said there comes a point where he will turn against you, away from you, for being disobedient. And we don't want to hear that. Somehow, some way, you know, we just got to be the exception to the rule. But what we're learning as we read is the way that he conducts himself, the expectations that he has, and how he's going to judge. So we need to get these things down on the inside of us, because I really do believe that people have the wrong expectation of the Most High. They are inventing someone that doesn't exist. They are changing him into their perception of who he is. And so if I can't accept this, then he has to be this way. And if I got this nature in me, you know, I just can't seem to stay on the right path. I really do need a very forgiving God. But the Elohim of the Bible says something different. And so I don't know where people are getting this stuff from. It has to be, it's made up. It is not in accordance to what he has had written, at least. So get these things down on the inside of us, that we might walk before him respectably, not in fear of his wrath, but in fear of his wrath. Not expecting that he would take it out on us because we are doing what we're supposed to do. But understanding, hey, from what I'm seeing in this book, what I'm seeing is the Elohim of the Bible means what he says. And we can, in our frailty, in our weakness, in our unbelief, we can try to make him be something that he says that he is not, that he hasn't said that he is himself. Now, what I know for sure is this. He is merciful to those that love him. And we already know the definition of how he says. We know the definition of what he says, those who love me. Keep my commandments. This is how you show love to him. And he's merciful to those. But to those who don't keep his commandments, those who are willful especially, the scriptures don't teach nowhere that he's merciful. I just don't want to serve the Most High in a lie. I don't want to serve him from a position that's not true. I don't want to put something on him that is my personal belief, my personal understanding that he has not stated in his word, that he has not shown in his word. I don't want to twist to justify myself. I don't want to twist his word to justify my actions. Because that's what I see people doing, twisting the scripture to justify their actions. And that's not going to do them or anyone else any good. It's not going to, you know, so maybe you feel comfortable, you live comfortable. Maybe you're able to live comfortable thinking that the Most High is okay with your actions. I don't know, you know. I myself am not comfortable in that. I'm not comfortable for myself in that. And I would pray that no one is. But I know people are. And so, again, let's embrace the scriptures. Let's embrace the word of the Most High. If we are Israel, let's embrace our priesthood. Embrace the job that he gave us. That we might prosper in this world. Nobody wants to go through this world struggling. Nobody wants to do that. I don't care who they are. Nobody wants that. And the Most High don't want it for us. But he's given his conditions. And we either meet his conditions or we don't. So understanding his covenant says, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant. He's laying it out for us. So we, in order to keep the covenant, we have to know what's in it. And I don't like making assumptions, because you know what they say about assumptions. You assume something, you make a, I'll just say it, you make an ass out of you and me. When you assume, break the word apart, ass, A-S-S-U-M-E, assume, ass out of you and me when we assume. I don't like to assume. So let's read his word and let's learn who he is and let's bring ourselves into compliance with him. He's not going to change for us, and why should he? Ever. I'm going to change to make my creation happy. No. I made you for my pleasure. I made you to make me happy. Why are you bringing me unhappiness? You bringing me unhappiness, and I made you for my pleasure, and you expect for me to keep you? How many things have you ever made in your life that when you made it, and we won't say anything living, anything that you made and you weren't satisfied with it? It didn't look the way you wanted it to look, or it didn't work the way you wanted it to work. Whatever, it's just you weren't happy with it. Did you keep it? Did you value it? Probably chances are no. Chances are no. Maybe some of us did, but the chances are is no, we didn't value that. You know, it didn't turn out the way we wanted it. Didn't turn out the way we expected. And a lot of times we would just throw it away. Why do we expect that the Most High would be different when he says otherwise? All of you that don't meet the grade, I'm going to throw you in the lake. It's no different. I have no use for you. You don't bring me pleasure. Matter of fact, you cause my heart to hurt. You cause my bowels to ache. You make me sick to my stomach. Now, when the Most High says that, you know, you read that in Scripture, my bowels, my bowels. Why do we expect him to be different? When he's telling us, I made you in my image and in my likeness. I told you I get jealous just like you get jealous. But my jealousy comes from a different place. So we have to come into conformity with him. There's no two, there's no other way. There's no two ways. There's only one way. And people want to make up all these sayings and what have you. You know, every man's on his own path and yada, yada, yada. Truthfully, no, there's only one path. That's why he says that path is narrow and long. He didn't say it's several paths. It's one path, and it's narrow and long. And the other path is short and wide that leadeth to destruction. But somebody came up with some saying, you know, we're all on our own journey. We're all on our own path. You know, we live separate lives. This is true. And we might have to come to the Most High in our own ways. But to live righteously and to live sanctified, to live holy, that is the only way. That's the only path. Any other path you try to take leads to destruction. So let us get this thing right. Let us get the word down in us. Let us commit to the word. Let us believe who we are as a people. If you believe this is who you are, then you have to step into who you are. And that comes with responsibility. It comes with commitment. It comes with at a standard. And not one you can make up yourself, because we've been given the standard by the Most High. So we can't make it up. That's what people want to do. Do their own thing. Got to do it my way. Most High said, no, you got to do it my way. Or don't do it at all. Because I'm telling you exactly what I want. And if you do, and we've already seen, if you do it, don't do it exactly the way he wants, he don't accept it. He don't. So we can't just be doing our own thing. It's like, you know exactly how you like something done, and you tell somebody do it exactly that way, don't deviate from it, and you come back and they've not done exactly what you said to do. You know what you're going to think and what you're going to say about that. You know how you're going to feel about it. Didn't I tell you this is how I want it done? Exactly like this? Again, for whatever the reason, we think the Most High is different. But we find out when we read, no, I told you to do it exactly that way. Even I told you exactly what time to burn incense. And you're going to burn it when you want to? And he burnt them two men up, two brothers. Because it wasn't done exactly like he said to do it. But somehow, we're an exception. I think I need to find this verse where he says, do exactly what I say. Don't add to or take away from what I tell you, what I ask you. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. You shall not do unto me as these other nations do unto their gods. Do exactly what I tell you. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. Excuse me. So let us get this word down in us. Let us walk in it. Let it become us. For real, because that's what the Most High said. If you will obey my voice, for real, indeed, for real. Let's take the guessing out of it. For real, we understand that. If he says indeed, we might think, well, what I need to do? Indeed. Deed is something that you do. Indeed. No, that word means for real. Don't play at it. Don't guess at it. I'm not even giving you room to guess. I'm giving you what I require. And that's what I want. And that's what I'm going to have. So don't try to make up your own thing. And don't try to be the exception to the rule. Because I don't do exceptions. And if I do, it's my choice. But don't try to make yourself the exception, because I might say no. And chances are, I'm going to say no. So let's not make ourselves the exceptions. It is better to fit in and do what he says and what he wants than to try to put ourselves in a position where we got to be the exception to the rule and then if we get to that judgment seat and he says no, you are not the exception, you are not exceptional, you are not like Moses, who I have even told he couldn't go into the promised land, So don't be mad when I tell you to go get in that hot, sweaty line over there. Because you made yourself the exception. I didn't make you the exception. You did that to yourself. So let's not do that. Let's not make ourselves the exception to the rule or try to be the exception. Give the Most High what he wants, how he wants it. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And as I said, chapter 4 through 11, I know that there is nothing concerning, especially anything new concerning the laws, the covenant. But we're going to read some things that how the Most High interfaces with the people, how he reacts. And this is what we're looking for. We're learning him. Now, therefore, hearken, listen, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments. The statutes our people never had a problem with. I'm telling you, when I read this word and when I look at the history, they never had a problem with the statutes. It is the judgments that they had a problem with. It is his judgments that our forefathers had a problem with. It is his judgments that the people have a problem with today. And so let me make this clear. What the Most High has judged on, we don't even get an option to change it. We don't get an option to weigh in on it. He has already judged the matter. It says, this is how you will judge it. And this is what our forefathers didn't do. Oh, no. You said do that? I don't think that that's right. I don't think that that's humane. I don't think that shows compassion. What did I say? I know, but that goat spirit, but I think I ought to do this. And placed ourselves above him. So one of the things that I know that I've learned in our reading of this and understanding that I have come to is that, number one, he has already made judgments on a lot of different things. And his judgments are the way that he expects us to judge. We don't get to change that. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you, for to do them they may, that you may live and go in and possess the land, which I, your Elohim, of your fathers, giveth you. So he says, listen to the statutes. Listen to the judgments and do them. Why? That you may live. Wow, the Most High is good. Good grief. I hadn't pre-read this. You shall not add unto the word which I command you. Verse 4. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish out from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yah your Elohim which I command you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you. Shall not add unto my judgments. You shall not diminish from my judgments. You shall not add to my statutes. You shall not diminish from my statutes. You shall not add to my laws. You shall not diminish from my laws. You shall not add to my ordinances. You shall not diminish from my ordinances. The only one that can do that is him. Thank you, Most High Elohim, because I was, you know, as I said, just talking, just speaking what was in my heart. And here it is, we just read it. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you. We don't get an option in this. We don't get a say. And especially in his judgments. In none of it, really, but especially, because this is where we've had the problem, in his judgments. I said, kill him. But, that's what I said to do. I said that if a man kills a man, even accidentally, that the avenger of blood can kill him unless he makes it into this safe city. And he must stay in that safe city for as long as the high priest that is on duty lives when he commits the act. So when he accidentally killed that person, whoever the high priest is, he has to stay in that safe city until that high priest dies. Then he can come out and he can return to his land and that person can't go after him. But while that high priest lives, if that man comes out of that safe city, the Most High says that avenger of blood can kill him, can avenge the person's blood, even if it was an accident. Because he says blood cleanses blood. Let me repeat that. If a person kills someone, even by accident, the blood that they spilt is a stain in the land. And the only thing that will clean it is the blood of the person that killed them. That's what the Most High said yesterday. So, if somebody kills somebody, the only thing that will remove that blood from the land, that sin from the land, is the blood of the person that killed them. That's what the law requires. That was something else. And the Most High says, hey, if that person that accidentally killed this person, if they come out of the city before the high priest dies that was on duty when they committed this act, and the avenger of blood kills them, he says, you're not going to hold the avenger of blood guilty, and you're not going to pity the man that he killed because he didn't obey the law. Came out, wasn't supposed to. He says, so you ain't going to pity him. Now, these are his judgments in this matter. I'm just using it as an example. He says, now don't add to that and don't take away from it. Do it exactly the way that I told you to do it. Apply it exactly the way that I told you to apply it. Oh, brother so-and-so, he was chopping wood and his axe head came off and he killed sister so-and-so. Now her husband is angry and he believes that, you know, he needs to avenge his wife. But the Most High said that brother so-and-so, you know, it was an accident, but he needs to flee to this city over here, the closest refuge city. He flees over there. Now, sister so-and-so's husband can't avenge him, can't avenge her blood. He's angry. He's still angry. He still wants to avenge her blood. Brother so-and-so comes out of the city who killed this man's wife by accident. And then her husband or ex-husband sees him and kills him. Most High says, you're not going to punish him for killing him. And you're not going to have pity on him for coming out when I told him he can't come out until the high priest dies. Some people might have a problem with that. There's a lot of things that I know people have the problems with the judgment of the Most High. We want to claim a lot of things are mental illness today. Most High didn't make room for mental illness. It says, if this happens, this is what you do. Whether that person is mentally ill or not. He didn't give leeway. Let's continue. First, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2 again. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. Don't take away anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what Yah did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, Yah, thy Elohim, has destroyed them from among you. These are the ones that, you know, they were worshiping Baal. They married the Moabite women, who these Moabite women happen to be worshipers of Baal, which means that, you know, they were practicing sexual intercourse during worship as part of their worship. And the Most High said he destroyed them all from among them. But you did cleave unto Yah your Elohim. But you that did cleave, so he's saying you that did hold on to the Most High, your Elohim, are alive, every one of you, this day. All those who went after Baal Peor, they died. All you that held on and cleaved to the Most High, you are alive unto this day. Well, unto that day that he was speaking. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments. See, we'll talk about statutes, command, and ordinances, but you very rarely hear people bring up judgments. And I wonder, you know, I had to wonder about that. People intentionally, we keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. They don't say we keep the statutes, laws, commandments, and judgments of the Most High. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever even noticed the teachers saying that? We keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. And you hear all Hebrews saying that, but I have never even heard somebody bring up, we keep the judgments. Now, I ain't heard everybody, but I've heard quite a few people. So I think we repeat what we've heard. But Moses said, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yah my Elohim commanded me, that you should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. His judgments, his statutes, he says, these are our wisdom. We were very unwise people because we didn't keep them. Shows how unwise we are. But he's telling us exactly. And because we didn't keep them, the world has come up with its own standards, its own understanding. Got Sigmund Freud. Yeah, you got the id and whatever else he says about the human psyche. And this person in you and that person in you. And you know, your brain is not functioning correctly. Yada, yada, yada. The Most High says, these are my statutes and my judgments that deals with all that. And so you got some people who their minds are corrupt. Their spirits are corrupted because of things that their forefathers did. And it's passed from generation to generation. And truth be known, each generation can come from under it, but the truth of the matter is, if they don't know that, and if, you know, this certain trait is in a family, it is passed down. You know, diabetes unless you're born with diabetes, typically you get diabetes because of the eating habits, or high blood pressure because of the eating habits of your parents who taught you what to eat. And we know coming out of slavery, the slave masters didn't give us the best to eat. They gave us the waste products. That's how we began, you know, began to eat chitlins and things like that. It's what we were given. Our forefathers. Yeah, go ahead and rinse that doo-doo out of there and boil them things up. Go ahead and they eating the cow, but, you know, you got to eat the pig. And we learn how to make those things taste good. But they were affecting our health. Inherited. Because we inherited the behavior. We inherited those traits. So we inherited the disease that comes with it. But if you don't eat that way, I don't care how many people in your family got diabetes, if you don't eat that way and you exercise, you take care of yourself, you won't get type 2 diabetes. It's because we succumb to, well, we don't even know any better. We learn to, you know, we do what we were taught. So if somebody who has type 2 diabetes was your mother or your father, and, you know, they cooked the way that they cooked. They cooked the way that they were taught. They pass that down to their sons, their daughters. And they don't learn any better. Guess what you're going to have? And sooner or later, it starts to just become part of your DNA. So we didn't have wisdom. We departed from what he said. And then we were caused to depart. You know, we were caused and made, you know, if you are a slave and all they give you is this, it's not even, you know, they wouldn't even give it to the pig. But they gave it to our forefathers. They had to eat. So because we lost our wisdom, because we didn't do what the Most High said to do, because we didn't keep his statutes, his judgments, we didn't appear to be wise before the nations. Because we wouldn't have had these issues. Be like, how come your people never get sick? How come your people live a long life? How come there's no crime in your neighborhoods? How come your women are not sleeping around? How come your men aren't beating up the women? See, all these things we were given by the Most High, and because we disobeyed, all these other things came upon us because we weren't living by his standards. We lost our wisdom. And when the world looks at us, how is the world going to look at us and say, oh, that's a blessed people? We have to know why the world looks at us the way that they look at us. All we see is, you know, they want to bring up black-on-black crime. But really, all crime is color on color, or that nationality on that nationality. A white man is more apt to attack another white man than a black man, a white man. But that's not the way it's portrayed, because they want to paint a certain picture. They want to say white on white crime, or Chinese on Chinese crime, or African on African crime, or German on German crime. They don't want to say that, because they want to paint a certain picture. But the statistics show that most crime is that color or that ethnicity on its own ethnicity. Black people attack black people. more often than they'll attack anybody else. White people will attack white people more often than they'll attack anybody else. But let's paint it this way, to make you appear to be worse than us. But because we don't follow the statutes, laws, and commandments and the judgments of the Most High, because we're not willing to live by them, because, you know, we are trying to live by the standards of the world, because we desire those things that are of the world, and we let them give us our standards, then, you know, these nations, even though they have become civilized, a lot of their past behavior has been very uncivilized. And even today, when it comes to not their own, they are still uncivilized. Go in and kill without impunity another race for something that they have, something that, you know, the other person wants. Will cut down every tree in their own country and then try to tell another nation, after we realize what we did to our own, try to tell another nation, no, you can't cut down your trees. We cut down our trees so we can become rich and powerful, but we don't want you doing it. You're going to mess up the planet if you do it. Different standard. Oh, well, we learn better. Yeah, but you still did it. And you wouldn't let nobody tell you what to do in your country, but you want to come to my country and tell me. So, we as a people, we're supposed to be able to see all these things in all these different systems and teach the people the ways of the Most High. Know your form of government. It's not a bad form of government. However, it is unjust and unrighteous in these ways. But how can we tell anybody anything when we were acting unjust and unrighteous? When we were acting not in accordance with the statutes, laws, and commandments and the judgments of the Most High? How are we going to teach anybody anything, and how are we going to expect them to respect us? We're trying to be like them. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. But Most High, we want to be like them. We don't want to give them your statutes, laws, and commandments and judgments. We want to take theirs. Which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. No, we got to be like them. So they're looking at themselves and saying, we know we jacked up. We know what we do to our own, and you want to be like us? Verse 7. For what nation is there so great who has Elohim so nigh or so near unto them? As Yah, our Elohim, is in all things that we call upon him for. And what nation is so great that has the statutes and the judgments, so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? This is a question he's asking. What nation has the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High? What nation has the Most High Elohim, the creator of the world, so close to them? And we wanted to be like them. That was our problem. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Especially in the day thou stoodest before Yah thy Elohim in Horeb, when Yah said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth. and that they may teach their children. We have failed in this regard. We have listened to Sigmund Freud. We have listened to medical science. We have listened to everybody but the Most High. And we've listened to the public school system, the private school system, academia. And they are teaching otherwise than what the Most High teaches. And then we will say, oh, the words of the Most High are antiquated. They're outdated. It don't apply today. This is the new science. This is the new understanding. This is the way the brain works. You gonna tell the one who created the brain how the brain works? And that if we are malfunctioning like that, then the Most High says, there's a defect there. And that person don't act, especially if they're violent and they're running around taking lives. They don't act in accordance with how I designed you. And he says, this is my judgment in that area. And we'd be like, well, that could have been me. I could have been that one that had the mental problem. But the Most High Creator says, if these situations come up, this is my judgment. So let's go back to verse. Let's go back to verse 2 again. Let's reiterate this. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. Don't add to it or diminish it. I have taught you the statutes and the commandments. I've taught you the statutes and the judgments. This is your wisdom before the nations. No other nation has had the Most High this close to them. No other nation has received the statutes and the judgments of the Most High, the Creator of all mankind. And they are making up things as they go. They are making up things to do what they want to do. I've given you my standards. I've given you my judgments. I've given you my statutes. I've given you my ordinances. I created all mankind. And I created you and chose you to take my truth to them. But you didn't agree. So you tried to adopt theirs. We dropped our wisdom. Just like we dropped the fear of the Most High. See how all this works? We dropped our fear of him. And he says the fear of him is the beginning of all wisdom. And because we didn't fear him, we didn't keep his statutes, laws, commandments, and his judgments. And we didn't teach them to the world. We didn't enforce them on our own selves. Because we lacked wisdom. Because we didn't fear him. He's our friend. He's our buddy. And you know, and whatever he says, it's a suggestion. We don't have to do it. It's just a suggestion. This is how people act. What the Most High says is a suggestion, and I can make up my own mind and do what I want to do. And you got that right. You can do that. But then how do you say he is your God? He said, don't add to or take away from. But I'm a, you know, whatever you say, I hear you. That's a good suggestion. I'll do that. Oh, no, I don't agree with that suggestion. I won't do that. This is the way people treat the Most High. Verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from the heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before Yah thy Elohim at Horeb, when Yah said unto me, he said, remember this especially, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words. So when people say nobody's ever heard, you know, that's why I say people read these verses without understanding. When it says nobody has ever heard his word or heard his voice, when I make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth. Well, so I said, I came down specifically, specially. I came down specially that they would see my presence on the mountain, see the mountain start to melt, see the thunderings and the dark clouds, and that they would hear the trumpet blowing so loud that they would fear me. All the days that they lived on the earth. So these things are being reiterated. But nobody wants to hear fear Yah. They're looking for a buddy. They're looking for somebody that they can be a friend with. But the first thing the Most High wants you to do is fear him. And if you fear him, then you're going to keep his commandments. And you're going to fear what will happen to you if you don't. He says, especially. Today we would say, especially. But this is being specifically. Remember this and teach it to your children. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. And you came near and stood up under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And Yah spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. You didn't see what he looked like. Only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant. See, this is why I told you guys when we read in Exodus chapter 19 that the people heard this. And the Most High said, I'm going to cause them to hear me talk to you, Moses, so that they will know to fear me and they will know that I talk to you. So he's the one that gave them the Ten Commandments. He's the one that told them what the covenant is and what's required. Then he called Moses up to the mountain. So Moses didn't go up there and get the instructions and write it down and bring it back. And the people had never heard it. They heard it directly from the mouth of the Most High. This is what he's reminding them of. They heard it. That they might fear him. So every time they messed up, somebody died with a quickness. It wasn't let me explain the situation. Most I came down and said, oh, this is a situation. Bam, burn them up. Bam, burn up those 250 people. Bam, let the earth swallow up those 14,000. Bam, let the snakes bite all these people and kill them. Judgment came with a swiftness. Because they heard him say, these are my statutes. These are my laws. These are my commandments. These are my judgments. The people heard it. It wasn't secondhand. It's not word of mouth. They didn't get it word of mouth through Moses. Moses went up on the mountain and Moses said, now let me write this on tablets for you. And you take it back and put it in the Ark of the Covenant. That the people don't forget. So I want you to imagine. Put yourself at Mount Sinai. In the Most High, you see this big black cloud coming, like really black cloud. And it's thundering and it's lightning. And you can see like a fire in the cloud. You know, it's not a normal, it's not like lightning light. It's like a fire light. Something's burning in this cloud, brightly. But this cloud is like dark, dark, but you can see this fire in it. And as the cloud approaches, the trumpets start blowing, and they just get louder and louder and louder. Till you can't stand it. And you don't know what's about to happen. And then you see this cloud stop over the mountain, and then the mountain starts to melt. Lava starts running down the mountain. And then you hear this voice come out of the cloud. And tells you the Ten Commandments. And tells you, gives you the rules of the covenant. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. And he tells you what the covenant is. Imagine you heard this. Imagine you saw that. You know, I can't really say anything about those people because the Most High said, hey, more chances likely than not that had you been there, you'd have done the same thing they did. And you would be doing the same thing they're doing. But it's just hard to imagine seeing that and witnessing that. And I know that our memories are not that long. We could be going through something. The Most I can deliver us out of it, and we remember it for a minute. But as time goes on, we remember it less and less. Something spectacular could happen, and we witness it. But over time, we don't see it or remember it like we did when it first happened. So the Most High says, especially remember when I came down and talked to you, and you heard me. Give you the, let's read this again because I want us to understand. Start in verse 11 again. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 11. And you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness and clouds and thick darkness. And Yah spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of his words. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. You didn't see any shape. Only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant directly to the people, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tablets of stone. And Yah commanded me at the time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whether you go over to possess it. Take you therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that Yah spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is in the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. Lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, in the moon, in the stars, even all the host of heaven, should be driven to worship them and serve them, which Yah thy Elohim has divided unto all the nations under the whole heaven. But Yah has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day. So, the Most High said, I didn't let you see nothing about how I looked. You saw no similitude. You couldn't say he looked kind of similar to this, or he looked similar to that, or he looked like this. He didn't allow them to see anything. He says, now, don't try to take anything. Don't take no image of anything, a cross, an angel, the likeness of anything under heaven or in the earth or in the ocean or in the skies, and make an image out of it and worship it and say that it's similar or looks like the Most High. He said, I intentionally did not let you see anything because I don't want you putting your faith in nobody or nothing other than me. I don't want you worshiping anything other than me. And I didn't give you anything to look at. So what you going to do? Wait for it to be super dark outside and you're going to worship the clouds because that's what I came in? I didn't give you any similitude. Nothing that you can say, the Most High looks kind of like this, or the Most High looks similar to this. A man or a woman, a beast, nothing. So I didn't let you see anything. I don't want you worshiping anything other than me. And you don't know how I look. Verse 21, and then we'll stop for today. Furthermore, Yah was angry with me for your sakes, because you guys murmured and said, we ain't got no water. And I got angry. And I said, must we bring you water out of this rock? But see, I know from the punishment that the Most High gave Moses and that he gave Aaron, before they went out to the people, they colluded with each other. They got together and said, this people is something else. Now we're going to have to go out here and cause water to come out this rock to stop their murmuring. They got together and colluded. That's the only way you can come up with must we. If they hadn't colluded, you could see Moses say, must I. But because they colluded, it became a we issue. And the Most High says, I didn't tell you to say that. And how dare you take my glory, like you're the one bringing this water out of this rock. And because you did that, Moses, you don't get to enter in. And because you did that, Aaron, you don't get to enter in either. Must we bring you rebels water out of this rock? He says, and the Most High was angry with me for your sakes, and swear that I should not go over Jordan, that I should not go in unto the good land, that good land, which I thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but you shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of Yah your Elohim, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which Yah thy Elohim has forbidden you. For Yah thy Elohim is a consuming fire, even a jealous Elohim. When thou shalt beget children, and the children's children, you shall have remained long in the land, shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of Yah your Elohim to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it, if you shall not prolong, and you shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. Now he's saying this is going to happen when you're, let's go back to verse 25, because he's proclaiming this, that if this happens, this is what's going to happen. When thou shalt beget children, verse 25, and children's children, and you shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image. See, we're not supposed to have statutes of anything. And make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of Yah thy Elohim to provoke him to anger. Look how good. You see this statue? You see the statue of this dolphin? Look at the handiwork of it. Look how good it's carved. It looks real. That's a form of worship and adoration. But we don't realize that. See this statue of the Mona Lisa or of whatever, and we bestow adoration on it, the craftsmanship of it, how beautiful it is, how lifelike it looks. He says, don't make your graven image of anything. Don't do that, because it provokes the Most High to anger. He says, when your children forget and they do this, I call heaven and earth to witness against, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land. If they do this, whereunto you go over to Jordan to possess it, you shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And Yah will scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen. Whether Yah shall lead you, and Yah shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whether Yah shall lead you. And there shall you serve gods, the works of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from this thou shalt seek Yah thy Elohim, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So when your children's children, your great-grandchildren forget these words, and they start creating images and start worshiping them, calling them gods, whether it's the sun and the moon or whether it is some fertility god or whatever it is, and he scatters you among the nations, if you will seek him, seek Yah with all your heart and all your soul, says you will find him. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter days, we are in the latter days, if thou turn to Yah thy Elohim and shall be obedient unto his voice, that's why we have to do exactly what he says. We have to be obedient unto his voice. For Yah thy Elohim is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that Elohim created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there has been any such thing as this great thing is, and has been heard like it. Did ever a people hear the voice of Elohim speak from the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and lived? Ain't nobody else heard him and lived. Or has Elohim assessed to go and take him, a nation, from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that Yah your Elohim did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Has he done this with another nation, take a nation out of another nation? Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know. And this is why I said in Isaiah, he says, you are my witnesses. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that Yah is Elohim, and there is none else beside him. None else. This is why we hear, O Israel, Yah our Elohim is one. Yah is one. We are supposed to know this. He said, you were showed. And this is why he showed us, that you might know that Yah is, he is Elohim. And there is none else besides him. No Hebrew should be talking about two gods. No Hebrew Israelite, let me change that, should be talking about two gods ever. And where it looks like it's two gods, they got to understand. He says, I will not form another god. There was not one formed before me, and there will not be one formed after me. We have to know this. This is our witness to the world. Verse 35 again. Unto thee it was shown, that thou mightest know that Yah, he is Elohim, and there is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee upon the earth. He showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with a mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that Yah, he is Elohim in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee forever. Then Moses served, severed three cities on this side of Jordan toward the sunrise, that the slayer might flee there, which should kill his neighbor unawares, you know, innocently, and hate him not in times past, and that fleeing into one of these cities he might live, namely Bezer in the wilderness, in the plain country of the Reubenites, and Ramoth and Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan of the Manassites, Manasseh's tribe. And this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies of the statutes of judgment which Moses spake unto the children of Israel after they came forth out of Egypt, on this side of Jordan, in the valley over against Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel smote after they were come forth out of Egypt. And they possessed his land in the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan toward the sunrise, and from Aroer, which is by the bank of the river Arnon, even unto Mount Zion, or Zion, which is Hermon, and all the plain on this side of Jordan eastward, even unto the sea of the plain, under the springs of Pisgah. So we are reminded that Yah showed the people, and he didn't show himself. He showed his presence, but he didn't allow them to see a similitude of him. He came down and spoke to them, gave them the covenant, the Ten Commandments, statutes and judgments. Said, don't add to or take away from. He said, but especially remember, I showed you these things so that you would know that I am God, I am Elohim, and there is no other. There ain't no other God. Everything else is made up. Everything else is man's imagination. So this is why I showed you. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come before you. Father, believing the testimony written in your word concerning our forefathers, we believe that we are the lost sheep of the house of Israel, scattered amongst the nations, that our fathers were disobedient to you, that they did not obey your voice, and we are subsequently scattered amongst all the nations of the earth. And you have said that if we will but return unto you with our whole heart and with all our soul, that you will honor the covenant that you made with our forefathers and the new covenant that you have made through Messiah, that you would honor it, us as a people. Father, we believe your words. We believe your promise. And we step into it with the understanding that we are the people. Do for us what you promised our fathers, our forefathers. Fulfill in us the promise that you made to them. For we are ready, Father. We are ready to do thy bidding and to do thy word and to obey your voice. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On this evening, I don't know what we're going to do yet. The Most High will have to give it to me. I am just amazed at his word. Like I said, the Most High had me talking this morning. Let's not add to or take away from. Let's just do what he says to do. May the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, this evening I pray, till we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Keep your focus on him. Be obedient to him. Obey his voice. Shalom, family.
Sometimes all I wanna do luck. Oh, one time, push a buck. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no need. I need a